And so both sides end up getting destroyed. You see that? The Gaal faction, the men of Shechem faction, they end up being defeated in battle, killed in battle, chased to the city, burned with fire, right? The fires are lit. But then in the process of defeating, killing, burning these guys, Abimelech ends up getting his skull cracked. So Abimelech gets punished for the wickedness that he did, and the men of Shechem get punished for the wicked. Everybody gets punished. Everybody gets destroyed. So it's a very negative chapter in the book of Judges. And again, it's showing us what happens when there's no righteous leader, when there's no powerful leader of any kind, when you've got all these wicked people stabbing each other in the back. It never ends, you know. And this is why you should not ever trust people that you see stabbing other people in the back, because they're going to stab you in the back next. So you need to realize that these kind of people, oh, okay, so they're stabbing somebody in the back right now that you don't like. So it's okay, because it's like, well, my enemy's enemy is my friend. Well, not necessarily, okay? You need to make sure that you stay away from these kind of rotten people who are disloyal. You know, we live in a day where people are just disloyal. You know, people, it's like, they're not even loyal to the company that they work for. You know, it's like, they criticize the company that they work for, and they criticize their church, they criticize their family. It's like they're not loyal to anybody. You know, we need to have some basic ethics and decency and loyalty and morality. You know, if you can't feel good about the job that you work at, if you can't actually be loyal to that company, then you need to find a different job. You know, if you work for a horrible company, then you shouldn't work there. Because, it rubs me the wrong way when people, they work at a certain company, and then they would, like, say the competitor's better. I'm sorry, that's wickedness. You know, if I worked, just to use, a silly illustration. Let's say I worked at Trader Joe's. You think I'm going to go around telling people, hey, go with Sprouts. Sprouts is better. Do you think that would be right for me to do that? Do you think that God in heaven would be pleased with me if I'm recommending Sprouts and say, oh, whatever you do, don't shop at Trader Joe's? I mean, I used to work at Round Table Pizza. Should I have gone around saying, oh, man, forget Round Table. You got to try this other pizza. I mean, would that be right? Would God be? God says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. And not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So if I work for Round Table Pizza, shouldn't I have good will toward Round Table Pizza and bless Round Table Pizza and not be working against them on the side or saying that they're trash? Hey, Round Table is the last honest pizza, amen? It's not just a slogan. There is no Round Table in Arizona, so except in Yuma. And I go there every chance I get, but it's 3 hours away. I'm still loyal, you know, 20 years later. But the point is, though, we live in a generation that what I'm saying right now is foreign to them. It's alien to them. Like what I'm saying right now, they're like, huh? What are you talking about? The boss is our enemy. We got to unionize and defeat the boss. Folks, if your boss is your enemy, if you look at your boss as a mortal enemy, then you need to get another job because you are not right with God. Because how can you be right with God when your boss is a God-given authority over you and you don't respect him and you don't obey him? What does the Bible say, folks? I mean, the Bible says these things. In Colossians and in Ephesians and the New Testament, the Bible says, hey, children, obey your parents, right? Servants, obey your masters according to the flesh. Not just with eye service as men pleasers, not just when the boss is looking, no, with good will doing service from the heart. You know, and you ought to be loyal to the company that you work for or get a job at a company that you can be loyal to. And by the way, you should be loyal to your church. Now, what do I mean by loyal to your church? Look, I'm not saying support the church if the church goes into heresy or if the church departs from the faith, support the church. No, at that point, what do? You find another church. Don't follow a wicked church off the cliff. Don't follow the pastor off the cliff. You know, hey, even if I teach another gospel, right? What did the Apostle Paul say? Though we or an angel from heaven, if any man teach any other gospel, let him be accursed. He said, don't follow me off the cliff. Follow me as I follow Christ. And don't be loyal to the institution at all costs. But let me tell you something. While this is your church, be loyal to this church. If you can't respect myself as the pastor, if you can't respect the other leadership of the church, if you can't respect the church as a body, the church in general, then you shouldn't be here. If you can't respect your job, you shouldn't be at that job, because God commands us to respect our job, and he commands us to respect our church. The Bible says, submit to them that have the rule over you. Obey them that have the rule over you. He talks about those also that are over you in the Lord, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. If you can't do that, then go to a church where you can respect the pastor. You say, well, I don't respect you, Pastor Anderson. Okay, join the club, because guess what? There are a whole bunch of people out there who write me nasty emails and send me nasty voicemails. They don't respect me either. That's fine. But you know what? If you're going to be a part of Faithful Word Baptist Church, you should respect this congregation and not talk bad. Oh, yeah, I go to that church and blah, blah, blah. We had some idiot like that in our church a few years ago. We had this bozo in our church. His screen name, he had an anonymous YouTube account. Right? And his screen name is Contrarian. And you know what contrarian means? Contrarian is somebody who's just always taking the opposite point of view. It's an argumentative idiot who's annoying to be. It's like hanging around with Socrates or something. You know, he just wants to argue with you all the time and just question everything. That's what it means to be contrarian. And here's a little synonym for the word contrarian: froward. Maybe he should have just called his YouTube channel Froward. But contrarian means you're full of debate. And boy, was this faggoty dude full of debate. And we threw him out of the church when he started defending fags against Pastor Roger Jimenez. Roger Jimenez in his darkest hour, and he was talking bad about Pastor Jimenez and going around the church talking bad about Pastor Jimenez while he's standing up against the sodomites. This queer little sissy, Christ. Let me just give you a little tip. If your name's Christopher, it shortens to Chris without a T on the end. Can I help you out with that? And by the way, queers love to change their names. They love to change the spelling of their name to put like a Y in it or do these little cute things. You know, I remember back when the queers were in the closet, my brother worked at a call center, and he told me how, he said, you know, the queers at this call center, because he worked in like a giant office call center, he said the queers, they have this little code whereby they find each other, where they change the spelling of their name to some little cute spelling. So basically, and look, I'm not talking about people whose parents gave them a weird spelling. That's not their fault. I'm saying like this guy, like how about this, Kevin, K-E-V-Y-N. Like a dude who changes his name from the normal spelling to K-E-V-Y-N. And then there was another guy, Alan, A-H-L-A-N, Alan. These were both queers that worked at my brother's work, but they had this cute little name. They give themselves this cute little nickname. Alan, Kevin, Christ. So this queer bait has this anonymous YouTube account, Contrarian, and for like a year, he's going to our church and going on YouTube. But we didn't know this was somebody who went to our church. We thought the guy's lying. But we always see this Contrarian YouTube man. Oh, I go to that church, and Pastor Anderson is so immature, and he's always acting like a baby, and oh, you know, he keeps preaching against alcohol, and it's so stupid when he preaches on alcohol. It's so annoying to have to listen to these sermons. It's like, hey, moron, Nobody told you to come here. You know what I mean? It's like, why do you come here? I mean, do you really think we should have someone like that at our church? And that's why as soon as it was found out, everybody's like, throw him out, get him out. No one wanted him here. No one wanted him here. Everybody's like, why would we want this pajama-wearing bozo coming to our church in his pajamas every Sunday morning, sitting there all smug, defending queers against the man of God, Roger Jimenez, and sitting there and going online, oh, Pastor Anderson's sermon against alcohol was so stupid. Folks, anybody who goes to a church that they hate, or goes to a church where they hate the pastor, or goes to a church so that they can go anonymously and talk bad about it, because then they're so cool amongst their fag and atheist buddies, like, I'm behind enemy lines. I infiltrated Faithful Word Baptist Church. I mean, you should see, there are literally sodomites who post, like, selfies of themselves, like how they snuck in here looking normal and took a picture and, you know, like, oh, man, you know. Folks, let me tell you something. That's not normal. That's super weird. And you know what? You should not be bitter toward your job. You shouldn't be bitter toward your parents. You shouldn't be bitter toward your church. It's wickedness. It's that kind of rebellious spirit. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Here's another word for rebellious: contrarian. Why didn't he just call himself the wicked little witch? Okay? Loyalty. I'm not talking about following bad leaders off the cliff or something. I'm talking about if you can't morally work at your job in good conscience, then you got to leave. But what you can't do is talk bad about it, disrespect the boss, be disloyal, promote the other guy, you know, promote the competition. I don't care what your job is. Don't promote the competition. You're wicked if you do that. Yep. That's not right. It's not what your boss is paying you to do. And to sit there and go to a church and have a rotten attitude. And you know what? I know probably nobody in this room needs to hear this right now about the church. But I know there are a lot of people who listen to me online. And I'll bet you there are a lot of people listening to me online right now who probably are sitting in their church with a bad attitude on Sunday, thinking like, oh, I wish my pastor was like Pastor Anderson. You think that they're out there?
Oh, yeah.
And they're just thinking to themselves like, oh, man, I just wish that Pastor Anderson were my pastor because my pastor's this, my pastor's that. And you know what? They have a bad attitude toward the church, and it's wickedness.
Yep.
You know, they need to find the best church in their area, and they need to love and respect their pastor.
Yep.
And learn from him and not talk smack about him online or anywhere else. Not talk bad about him. Oh, he has problems. And you know, like I spoke to somebody recently, and this person was a good person, not a bozo, and this person had a good attitude. But I talked to somebody recently, and I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you know, your pastor, just because he's wrong on Bible prophecy or wrong about the Jews, and maybe you know more about those two subjects than him, I said, I guarantee you that there's a ton of other subjects that he knows more about than you do.
Yep.
Because he's a successful pastor who's been studying his Bible for many, many years. And so, okay, he's off on some things. You know more than him on a few things. I bet there's 10 other areas that you can learn from him and that he knows more and that he's more knowledgeable and has more wisdom on these areas that you can learn from. And here's the thing, these kind of people that are sitting there complaining and hating on their church, you know, then finally they're just going to break down and move to Phoenix. And you know what they're going to do? After 3 years, what's going to happen? After 3 years, all of a sudden now, we don't like Pastor Anderson now. I can't even count how many people, they're disgruntled with their old church, and then they move across the country to come here, and then all of a sudden they find out that I don't walk on water. Then all of a sudden they find out that I'm not exactly how they want me to be either, because it's the same type of people. And look, I'm not against people moving here to come here. I'm glad people move here to come here. I think it's great if people can't find a church in their area. Because like I said, what's the standard? You've got to love and respect your church and be loyal. So if people are in an area where they can't find a church where they can be respectful and loyal, then and you know what? Then great, if they want to move here and come here. But, you know, when they move here and come here, they better respect this place.
Yeah.
Because it's like if they couldn't be happy anywhere at home, and then they move here, and then they can't respect this place, you know what that tells me? It tells me they're the problem. And you know what? If this church ceased to exist tomorrow, I promise you that I could go to several other churches in this area, and I could just be happy and obey and get along and be a blessing to the church and be a part of the program and not cause any trouble until Jesus comes. And how do I know that? Because that's what I did for the first 24 years of my life before I was a pastor. I was never a troublemaker. I was a blessing. I got along. I preached over 500 times before I started this church. I preached over 500 times in other ministries, you know, in Sunday school classes, bus routes, nursing home ministries. And let me tell you something, 500 sermons, and I never one time preached anything that went against the doctrine of the church. Never. And all the churches I went to were pre-trib. You know what? I never preached against the pre-trib rapture. I never got up and preached my views on Bible prophecy that were in opposition to the church's views. I never got up and preached anything that was not the official doctrine of the church. Because I wasn't the God-ordained leader. I was just a punk kid. It's not my job to get up at 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old. Look, I wasn't qualified to pastor. I was a novice, right? I wasn't married with the kids and had gone through all the study and the training and everything like that. And so, you know, it wasn't my place to get up and correct everything and change everything. And you know what? I'll take it a step further. And I know my listeners out in internet land aren't going to like this part, but it needs to be said. You know what else I didn't do? No one even knew that I didn't agree with something about the church because I never talked about it. I didn't go around talking about everything I disagreed with about the church. Just trying to sow seeds of discord and seeds of doubt about the church. Because it wasn't my place. It wasn't my place to lead. It was my place to follow. And I followed and I followed and I followed and followed until it was my turn to lead. And then when it was my turn to lead, I did things the way that I believed the Lord wanted me to do them. And I preached the doctrine the way the Bible says it, and I corrected some of these errors that I was taught in other churches. I corrected these things that I was taught growing up because it was my place to do so, because I was in a position to do so. But you know, Roger Jimenez was my best friend. You know what? You want to know when Roger Jimenez figured out that I wasn't pre-trib? When he heard my first sermon from the pulpit of Faith Forward Baptist Church where I preached against the pre-trib rapture. Even after I was a pastor, I didn't pursue him on that issue because I just thought, you know what? It's not my place to cause trouble for him or discord for him where he's at. He called me up on the phone after hearing my sermon because I preached it in May of 2006. He called me up and he's like, what else are you not telling me? He's like, what? He's like, what in the world? Like, you knew this? I'm like, he's like, when did you figure this out? I'm like, when I was 12. He's like, what? We're best friends. But you know what? I didn't even get together with my best friend and just sit around and roast the pastor and talk smack about all the things that the church is wrong about. You know what? I'll take it even a step further. When I married my wife, I didn't even tell my wife that I wasn't pre-trib. She wouldn't have even known what that meant because she was a new believer. Hey, I married my wife, and she's a new believer. So do you think I want to just right away just start destroying her faith in our church? Destroying her faith in our pastor? Here, honey, let me tell you all the things our pastor's wrong about. But you know, there are a lot of people, that is what they do, and it's stupid. Hey, I married my wife, and we went to Regency Baptist Church. I didn't tell her anything that I disagreed with about the church, because that's not the point. There's so much we agree on. We agree on all the important stuff. We agree on all the essentials. It was King James, soul winning, right gospel. You know, we were just involved. We're serving. We were happy about everything that was right about the church. And we didn't fixate on the things that we didn't like about the church or the things that were wrong about the church. So finally, like, after we'd been married for like 6 months, my wife had already read the Bible cover to cover like twice because she was catching up, cranking through her Bible reading. She's reading the Bible like an hour a day, getting caught up from just growing up unsaved. You know, she wanted to know the Word of God. And so she just, it'd be like, I'd come home from work and it's like, oh, honey, how was your day? It's like, well, I read 2 Kings today, you know. It's like, man, that's a lot of reading. And so she volunteered at the Christian school And she's working with a kid in the Christian school, and the curriculum started teaching the pre-trib rapture. And my wife tells the kid, like, well, this doesn't sound right. Like, you know, I'd never talked to her about it, but just from reading the Bible on her own, she knew, like, she's like, yeah, this isn't really what the Bible says. And then her superior at the Christian school told her, like, well, no, actually, it is pre-trib. You know, it could happen any moment. It is this and that. So then my wife came home, and she's like, is that what they believe? And I'm like, yeah, that's what they believe, but, you know, obviously it's not what the Bible says. Obviously Jesus said it's after the tribulation. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, and then my wife's like, oh, okay, well, yeah. So basically I was married to my wife for 6 months and I didn't make some big deal about the timing of the rapture with light, like, honey, you know, we need to talk about the timing of the rapture. Our church has a serious problem. And look, I'm kind of, you know, I'm totally out of time. I'm over time. But, you know, what's this chapter about? It's about just rebellious people who stab each other in the back. And everybody ends up getting killed. All right? That's Judges 9 in a nutshell. And let me tell you something. Rebellions is the sin of witchcraft. Don't be this rebellious person trying to overthrow authority in your life. Now, here's the thing about your parents. You don't have the luxury of switching jobs with them. Your parents, you're stuck with them. So you better honor your father and mother no matter what, because you're stuck with them, okay? Children, obey your parents. But your job, thank God we live in America, where you can switch jobs whenever you want. Nobody, is anybody here indentured or anything? That's not even legal. Everybody can switch jobs whenever they want. And, hey, I got news for you. You can switch churches whenever you want. And you know what? If you come to me and say, Pastor Anderson, I love you, brother, but you know what? I'm just not happy here. I think there's a better church for me and my family. I'd rather go to Valley Baptist in East Mesa. You know what I'll do? I will pray for God. I'll say, hey, it's been a blessing having you. Let me pray for you on your way out the door that God will bless you and we can leave on good terms and be friends. Because you know what? Nobody here has to be here, right? You know, and this isn't the only church in town. Go to a church where you respect the pastor, where you love the church, where you respect the program of the church, where your goal is not to usurp authority or overthrow the doctrine of the church or subvert the doctrine of the church. It isn't right. And you know, there have been even other preachers who have accused me of sending my members as infiltrators to subvert their church. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, are there people who do that? I'm sure there are bozos who take the doctrines that I teach them and use it as a weapon to go attack some good pastor who's not perfect on a certain doctrine. But you know what? It's never been with my blessing, and I've never taught anything like that because it's wrong. Why? Because what if I got up and taught that? You know what? People would be devouring me next. And you know what the Bible says? If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. When you bite and devour one another, guess what? It's going to come back and bite you. And when God hears you being disloyal to your boss at work, well, you know what? He's not going to bless you on the job. He's not going to bless your income. He's not going to bless your occupation. And when he sees you talking smack about your church, it probably makes him even more mad because of the fact that the church is even more sacred than your job. But we need not be rebellious people. Don't rebel against your parents. Don't rebel against your boss. Don't rebel against the church. Find another boss. Find another church if you have to. But be respectful and loyal. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this chapter, Lord. And we thank you for these bad examples, Lord, of people biting and devouring and killing each other and hating each other and people trying to be a big shot and stabbing other people in the back and all these wicked leaders, Lord. Help us to learn from these bad examples and to realize that rebellion's wicked and slandering and stabbing people in the back is wicked, Lord. Help us to be loyal to our job, loyal to our church, loyal to our family, and most importantly, loyal to your word. And Lord, I just pray that people would take these admonitions in your word seriously so that we can have peace and do great works for you together in unity, in one accord. In Jesus' name we pray.